listening to the podcast of Village Church in Burbank, California. To learn more about Village Church, visit our website at villagechurchburbank.org. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, hello, everyone, and good to see you. I am joining you by video today. Just Thursday morning, a few days ago, I tested positive for COVID. Feeling okay, just have some very mild flu-like symptoms, but feeling okay, and I plan on being back with you next weekend, but it was best that I stay home for a few days and not contaminate anyone. This morning, instead of preaching, and I was gonna be beginning our series in Colossians this weekend, but we won't be doing that. We'll save that for next weekend. But what we are gonna do, you know, this weekend is the weekend of September 11th, and it just so happens, we have a couple in our church that has a really amazing September 11th story. Joe and Liz Guido, they've been with us for a little over a year now. They're fantastic. They've become great friends of my wife and I. And Joe and Liz just have a really, really cool story that changed their lives on September 11th, 2001. And this is the perfect time for them to just share this story. It's gonna inspire you, it's gonna challenge you, it's gonna encourage you. And so I've asked our lead elder, John Sponsler, he's gonna interview Joe and Liz this morning, and they're gonna share their story, and it's gonna really touch your heart. So if you would, right now, would you welcome to the platform John Sponsler along with Joe and Elizabeth Guido.
Well, hello. Surprises, huh? So I'm sure you're wondering why Liz is on crutches. I'm sure she'll have an opportunity to get to that. But let me just start with a question. How many of you guys know that God is never surprised by anything? Right? Nothing surprises God at all, right? We get surprised all the time. We have plans, we have expectations, we expect things to happen a certain way, and then all of a sudden something happens, and it changes everything. And this oftentimes reorients and kind of turns our world upside down, doesn't it? I had big plans this weekend, okay? So my brother Ed, who some of you know if you're old-timers here, who's since moved away, I talked him into coming to hear Pastor Ryan's prayer school. And so he was going to come in last night, and we were going to go to the prayer school today. And not only that, but I even got my son Trevor. Now, for those of you who know Trevor, this is a real miracle. He was going to come. And so I was really, really excited about prayer school. And not only that, but he's going to be starting the book of Colossians, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible. So I'm thinking, what a great weekend. And then I get one of those calls. And one of those calls say, hey, guess what? Change of plans. Daniel and I have had several of these in the last couple of years, haven't we, Daniel? And so things don't always go as we plan. And I can imagine that we've all gotten used to this a little bit in the last 2.5 years, haven't we, because of COVID. COVID is absolutely shaking things up. I think probably more than many of us think, many of us were prepared for. I think there's still changes that are reeling in from COVID. But God has never been caught off guard, not once. He's never been surprised. He's never had to adjust his plan. He's never changed a thing. He saw each and every day, past, present, and future, and he holds them all together. That's an encouraging thought. He's as faithful today as he was yesterday, as he will be tomorrow. Amen? And that ought to bring some comfort, because on the other side of unexpected news, you call it a crisis, you call it something you weren't planned for, something interrupts your rhythm. That can shake us up, and it can often rattle our faith. And I would lie if I wouldn't say I was a little anxious about the last minute call. It happens. But God is faithful. And God is not surprised. And so when we say that God will provide, we're talking about a God who knew this weekend would happen. He knows next. He knows all your tomorrows, as well as he knows all your yesterdays. And so when we say that God is faithful, it includes all those things that shake us up, and all those things that sometimes make us feel unprepared, caught off guard, on our heels. And so I just want to give glory to God because I think that's really exciting. He's probably the only person in the universe that knew that this weekend would be a curveball. And it was all part of his plan. He didn't need to tell us in advance, didn't need to do anything. He's God and he's in control. 21 years ago tomorrow, the world changed. 21 years ago, it's hard to believe. I'll never forget September 11th, and I imagine everyone in this room who was born remembers where they were on September 11th, 2001. My wife, I was getting ready for work. I work from home, and my wife was at school, taking our kids to school, and she was doing traffic over at Village Christian School. And she calls me and she says, "You got to turn on the TV. Something terrible has happened." And her voice was shaken up, and I turned on the TV and I saw those images that we've all seen. They're burned in our minds. And I was trying to process, like many of you, our nation has just been attacked. How do we process this information? It's surreal. And that was 21 years ago. Well, my new friends, Joseph and Elizabeth, Joe and Liz, right? You like Joe and Liz? Guido, Debbie and I have gotten to know them in the past few weeks, and they're becoming dear friends of ours. New members to our church have a profound story around 9/11. And so that's what we're going to do this morning, where God isn't surprised. We're going to hear their story and how God changed their lives on this day 21 years ago. And so welcome, Joe and Liz. We're glad that you're willing to do this and to tell your story. Maybe, Liz, you can first tell us why you're on crutches. Okay. There you go.
Hi. Hello.
There you go.
Okay. I just, over the holiday weekend, I pulled my calf muscle. So I'm just grateful that it wasn't anything worse. So I've been on crutches. Yeah. Always makes it interesting.
Yeah.
Like you said.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, how you ended up here at Village Church.
First, I want to take responsibility for what happened this weekend. About 10 days ago, maybe a week ago, I was having coffee with Ryan. Mm. And I said, "Hey, 9/11 is on a Sunday. Are you planning anything?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to be starting the book of Colossians." Mm. I guess not, right? So God works in funny ways, right? But Joe and Liz Guido, we married 21 years. The more I speak, you'll figure out that I am from New York. Mm-hmm. And we've been here for 22 years now. And just a little background, you know, we live right here in Burbank, Glendale. We can't figure out which one it is. We're on that border in the equestrian area. Two horses, two dogs, bird, bunch of other things running around. We have a teenage, a 16-year-old. She just turned 16 this week, and a 17-year-old son who's turning 18 in a couple of months. And what brought us here to Village was the experience that we've had over the last couple of years. We spent 20 years in a church, and we'll kind of tell a little more about how that happened. But over the last couple of years, you know, lots of changes, things were dynamics were changing, and we were looking for a new home. And my daughter was starting as a freshman at Village Christian School. And during the parent orientation, you get teamed up with another family, show you around the school, that kind of thing. And we got teamed up with Ryan and Carrie, not because of Ryan's role here, because Carson was going to be a freshman in the school, so he was there as a parent. And we just got to talking, and I said, "Why'd you move from Louisiana?" And he, "Oh, I'm here to be the new pastor of Village Church." I said, "Where's that?" And then, you know, we started. I think it was around his third sermon or so in last July that we showed up. And you know, just it's been an amazing transition for us to find a new home after spending a spiritual home, right? After spending so much time where we were. Do you want anything?
And so your son is a senior at Village, and your daughter is a sophomore?
Well, my daughter's a sophomore. My son is a senior, but he didn't stay at Village. He's just doing his own thing.
Okay.
So, yeah. But hopefully, he's planning to graduate early in December. So, yeah.
So I want to take you back to just before the events that happened on 9/11/2001. What was going on in your life?
Yeah, so Liz and I met in college in 1993, so almost 30 years. But we were planning our... we actually just moved here to Los Angeles in 2000. And during that year, we got engaged, moved here. During that year of 2000, we were planning our wedding. It was late 2000. Our wedding was of June 2001. And I moved here to start a business. And Liz was planning our wedding and acting. And so we kind of came here. And our wedding was back in New York. So we were making a lot of plans to be there for our wedding. But during that time, it was really, if God didn't intervene in our life, we would not have been here. And sometimes it takes a lot to intervene in my life. We were going through this process of being in a new city, focusing on the wedding, focusing on my work, and we just were growing further and further apart during that time. Mm-hmm. And got to the point where we were a couple of months away from our wedding and barely even speaking to each other. And looking back at the whole thing, the wedding was really focused on like materialism, and it was, where can we got married in the Hamptons in New York, if that means anything to anybody here, but it was all material based. And there was no picture of God in that scenario. So about 2 months before our wedding, Liz got invited to church by some ladies that she met, and we kind of experienced I spent 12 years going to Catholic school, never read the Bible. Liz grew up Catholic as well. So when we started to get involved in some Bible studies and just open the Word of God, it was amazing what was starting to happen in our life. And going into about a month before our wedding, this couple that we were going through this process with, they were sharing a lot of the Word with us. They got married, and we went to see their wedding, and it was in a church like this. The pastor knew them. The person marrying us didn't even know us. And got to tell stories about them and how we knew them. And we were just really intrigued by like a church family. Hmm. And then the reception was in the courtyard, pizza. We were like, huh? But it just, what we saw was like God working in their wedding. And we realized that wasn't a part of our situation at all. So God was working leading up to 9/11, which was just a few months later. You want to share anything? Okay, so that was where we were. But going into, do you want me to keep going?
It sounds like God is working in your life at this point, but right. You haven't committed your life to Christ.
No.
You have this really bougie wedding scheduled for the Hamptons,
right.
Caviar, and then all of a sudden there's this quaint wedding at this little church with pizza in the courtyard.
Yeah.
And that left an impact.
Yeah, there was this. I feel like a pivotal moment where we just, at that wedding, I remember just standing outside with Joe, and we were just kind of standing there looking at each other like, what are we doing? And this feels so good and real, and this is what we want. Mm. But how do we get there? We kind of felt like we were on the way, we were kind of being shown, but it still felt like so far away, so hard to attain. Mm. But we knew that God had us there for a reason, and we were starting to feel some changes in our heart and in our relationship.
Now, you did get married at this time.
Yes, we did stick with our wedding.
And Joe, you mentioned something. I heard part of their story last night. You mentioned something about one of the main reasons you went through with the wedding.
Because it was paid for.
apparently a Hamptons wedding is very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's where we were. I mean, just to give you context, we would literally like, we were just like, well, let's just do it because we paid for it. But that was a little bit before what that wedding that we went to. And then we started to, you know, kind of realize. And I do remember on our wedding day, you know, there was a lot of chaos with family and things like that. But skip that part. But on our wedding day, I remember Liz and I just looking at each other. We got married on the beach, all this like craziness going on around us that we knew, you know, tension and everything. And I just remember us looking at each other and like we were there with God at that moment, and we just smiled because we knew God had us at that moment. Even though we weren't all the way committed, we still had a way to go to learn, but we were fortunate that God intervened early, and you know that moment we had together. Yeah.
So then, what happened on September 11th, 2001?
So we got married in June, and I don't know, was it after our honeymoon, whatever it was, we were back in New York. The week before, we spent that week before September 11th in New York, and. I'm a financial advisor, so I was working on Wall Street at the time. Well, I was here, but I was going to our firm on Wall Street, and I was taking the train from her parents' house, so we were staying out in Long Island, into the city, and then going into the World Trade Center and crossing over to Wall Street. So I spent the whole week going through the Trade Center. And
this is the week before 9/11?
Yeah, up until 9/9, because that was a Friday. No, but it doesn't matter. Whatever. So... up into that whole week. And we had a flight to leave New York on September 10th in the evening. Liz's mom, who also is here, Doreen and Gracia, she's not here tonight, but she's living with us here and a part of the church with us. She drove us to the airport. We said goodbye, got on the plane, and it was like a beautiful night. We get on the runway and a lightning storm starts. And we sat there for hours. And this is on, you know, the 10th, around 9, 10 o'clock at night. And finally, the American Airlines, the pilot went back and he said, you know, we're gonna wait this out. If you want to take the next flight in the morning, you know, feel free to do that. Or we're gonna make another attempt, you know, in a couple of hours. So my parents live in Brooklyn, which is 15 minutes from JFK Airport, and we just said, forget it, let's just go. This is before we had kids, obviously, before our wedding, so it was easy. Let's just go. We just went to my parents' house, snuck in, went to bed, got up in the morning, and got on a flight at 7 in the morning leaving JFK. Nobody knew what flight we were on because they had the night before flight info. Now, her mom knew that we didn't get on the plane because she called and said, hey, we're just going to take a plane in the morning. That's about all they knew.
So you're getting on a plane the morning of 9/11.
7 a.m. American Airlines from JFK. And, you know, the flight took off on schedule, and I don't know, we weren't in the air long. We were in the air, timing-wise, but it wasn't very long. Long enough to get over Kansas, how long that takes. And I remember distinctly the pilot coming on and saying, you know, we're being told we need to land the plane, don't worry, there's nothing wrong with the plane, but we happened to be over the Kansas airport and we're going to make this quick. And they were serving, you know, carts down the aisle and the plane was just dropping like this. Mm. I remember looking at Liz, I'm like, really? We're never going to go home. You know, we're just thinking about us, right? So like, and then we land, and this was 2001, pre-iPhone, maybe had a BlackBerry. You know, I didn't. I had a flip phone. And so we land, and I remember, you know, some people gasping in the plane. You know, someone in the back of the plane said, oh, my gosh, New York. And then someone over here said something about, you know, Washington. And then someone said something about Philadelphia. I said, whatever. Like, no one knew what was going on, right? So I just said, whatever, I'm going to go get a rental car because they told us they were going to give us hotel vouchers. We were like, hotel vouchers? What was going on? We thought we were just stopping. So anyway, we got into this airport, picture like Burbank Airport with cornfields, you know, around it. No TVs, no one knew what was going on. You know, some murmuring of different things, but we knew something happened, but we didn't know what. You try to call, you know, people in New York and you can't. So all of our family, all you get was, you know, a busy signal. And it wasn't until probably about an hour later I got this rented car, kept hearing different things. And we were very fortunate because, I mean, in a lot of ways, but we were fortunate that we were like this first plane to land in this one runway airport. And I was able to get a rental car like right away. Obviously, later on, we heard the stories of people waiting on runways for 16 hours and no rental cars and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't until I got the rental car and we went to this, like, you know, Motel 6 that they sent us to that we actually turned the TV on. It was happy a good hour later. Still unable to get in touch with anyone in New York. And then we saw what happened. And we just like when you mentioned, you know, you turn the TV on, you just can't believe, like, is this really happening? Do you want anything? So that's kind of the story of the day, essentially.
Yeah. At that moment, I had struggled a lot with anxiety. So when I was watching that scene on the TV, I kind of melted and thought of my family right away. And we really tried to get in touch with our family because, like Joe explained, they didn't have our info. And we were basically right smack in the middle of that morning with a couple of planes being hijacked. At that moment, they didn't know how many planes had been hijacked and all of that. So it was definitely a scary moment for us, and just also thinking about what our family went through, what so many other families were going through. But I remember this moment just getting on my knees and praying because I knew that the only way I was going to get through that moment was holding on to God. I was really at this moment trying to figure out how to have a relationship with God. Because like Joe said, we grew up Catholic, and I believed in God and I believed in Jesus, but I didn't understand how to have a relationship with him. And this was something that we were learning, being able to pray to him and talk to him and cast my anxiety on him. And then to be able to read his word and have that a working conversation with him. That was something that was really new for me and that I desperately needed in that moment, moving forward. In my relationship with him. So yeah, it was a crazy day. We had our rental car. We ended up driving 3 more days before we got home to California, just pretty much crying all the way home and processing what had just happened and then also what happened personally for us and then what had happened like in the world in New York and to people that we knew in New York. And I grew up on Long Island, and there was a train station that it ran straight through to New York. And I just remember all the reports also of all the cars that were left in the parking lot at the train stations that were not picked up by the husbands or wives that night because they didn't come home from work that day. So just there was just a lot of grief and a lot of just trying to process what had just happened.
And your family at this time, they're going through this whole process and not knowing that you were not on one of those planes.
Right, because we were leaving from, you know, New York to LA. So we were basically among those planes that were kind of targeted. They wanted the planes that, you know, had a full tank of gas and were headed to California.
How has your life changed since then?
Wow.
How did that impact you?
Okay, so after that day, after we got home back to California, I made a beeline for these women that were studying the Bible with me. And I said, okay, I'm ready to get baptized. I just knew that I was ready to make that commitment to God. I feel like up until that time, I had kind of been learning about him and what it meant to what does the life of a disciple look like? What does that mean? And how does my life, the way I was currently living it, match up to that? And there were a lot of things that didn't match up. So I was hesitant to make that commitment, but not after 9/11. So I just realized in that moment, that's it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, what I think doesn't matter anymore. I just really want to make Jesus my Lord, and I want what he thinks and what he says to be to dictate how my life progresses from here. I just felt like, I'm all in, God. I'm ready to get baptized. I want to do my life with you now. I'm tired of doing it my way. It wasn't working. And he was really the only reason that Joe and I had, you know, made it to our wedding day and had any peace on that day. So, and today. And yeah, like, I still definitely say that we never would have made it as a married couple without God had we not, like, given our lives over to him.
So, amen. Yeah. Praise God. So tomorrow's 9/11, so it's 21 years ago. How does 9/11, what does it mean to you today? How does that rekindle any of these memories or what God has done?
You want to share?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a scripture that really moved me then, and I still hold on to it because I just remember where I was prior to this. And God was working on us, you know, up until that point. But and there's a few places in the gospel, but in Mark 8, it says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his very soul? And that's kind of, that was just such a impactful. I remember someone reading that scripture to me that when we were, you know, kind of learning and reading the Bible, and it was something I really held on to, and I just try to go back to that, because when I try to do things my way, or, you know, or go back to what I think is important or what I want in life, and, you know, I just have to remember to, you know, to be, I'm not in control, like you said before, right? Mm. You know?
So. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, I think for me, it gave me a purpose, and it gave me a peace. So, like, even when things like COVID pop up or anything in my life since then, because I've also had this crazy brain surgery journey where I had a benign brain tumor and I had to have, like, 3 surgeries, and it was crazy. But I felt grounded. I felt like I always had my anchor. I always had God with me walking through that. And I knew that I had him with me from that moment on for the rest of my life. And even though, yes, I have moments where I struggle, you know, with my emotions or with fear or, you know, any number of emotions that I have, I know that I can always land on God and his word and his promises and the fact that he has me. And that's just Amen. Given me a great amount of peace. And then I've been able to share that with other people. And, like, my mom has responded. And the cool thing is that about that story is that she was baptized 5 years to the day after I was baptized. So we have the same sort of spiritual birthday that we celebrate Wow. together, October 8th. And, yeah, it's just been so amazing to just hold on to God through the good and the bad of life. Since then.
Wow. Amen. And so you both kind of answered this last thought, the last question that I had have, but is there any takeaway? What would you have us take away from your story? What would you say to us?
Gosh. Just, you never know, right? When, I mean, we all have different life experiences that maybe, you know, had these moments that maybe weren't quite like 9/11, but you never know when's your last day, right? So it's just, for me, you know, I think about what am I to do with my life now, right? That I, you know, was grateful to come through that. And for me, just sharing the gospel has been it's been a priority, you know, and I think that what I want people to hear is to respond, you know, and whatever that looks like for you, you know, if it's, you know, learning more, you know, committing yourself, getting baptized, you know, whatever that journey is, but be open to what God can do. Cause it's, you know, like Liz said, we wouldn't be married today still, you know, if we don't keep God in our life. So, yeah.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah, for me, I think that God has shown me over the years that I'm a very emotional person. And like I was saying before, just to hold on to God, even though you're going through difficult times, like not to give up on him and not to let your emotions, like for me, it was very easy to let my emotions kind of steer me before without God, but like it's still okay to process things. It's still okay to grieve. Like I like to try to take a moment to grieve the loss of 9/11 for our country. And also for me personally, it also happens to be my father's birthday. I lost my father in 2017. So I like to kind of pause and I like to sing a song to him in Italian and then, you know, pray for all the people that lost their lives, all the families that lost mothers and fathers. And I mean, that is a big loss. Like these people are still feeling that loss 20 something years later. And I don't want to forget about that. So it's just very humbling, and it's also a moment where I try to also just kind of refresh and reconnect renew my relationship with God. Like, I'm in it. Thank you so much that you chose to save me for some reason that day, and I don't want to waste it, so help me not to waste it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing your story. It's very encouraging, very timely. Thank you, God, for orchestrating this. Why don't we give them a hand of applause? Yeah, you guys can. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach a sermon. But I just want to finish with just a couple thoughts, because this story is it's powerful, right? And I love what Joe said, that it demands a response. And so what is our response? Have you ever noticed that in the Bible that there are words that sometimes you use that you only use with regard to the Bible, right? Like propitiation. It's like, have you ever used that outside the Bible, or even atonement? There's a word, immutable. And it's a word that I don't think I've ever used outside the context of Scripture. And the word immutable simply means unchangeable. And in its purest sense, it can really only describe God. Because everything else in the created universe, even the universe itself, is constantly changing, right? It's always changing. Our lives, our world, you might say that we live in a very mutable world. It's anything but immutable. It changes all the time. Mutable, it's the root of that word mutation. And so it's changing all the time. We are always changing. Our bodies are changing, right? Our health changes. Our jobs change. We just changed pastors. Our culture changes. Politics change. Right? We're always changing. But the Creator is not. He's immutable. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's always the same. And this should give us incredible encouragement, because that means that we can put our full weight on Jesus, because he doesn't change. Anything we know to be true of God is true of God today. Anything that was true of God 50 years ago is true of God today, and it's going to be true of God tomorrow. And that's why stories like this are so encouraging, because you just heard a story of a God who, through a horrific experience, redeemed two souls, united two of his children in marriage, and now they have a beautiful family. They love the Lord. This is what God does. This is what the immutable, unchangeable God does. Familiar scripture in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." And that's really the message, I think, for today, is that there's really only one way for you and I to navigate through this life, right? It's to lay hold, it's to fix our thoughts onto the unchanging, immutable One. He's our North Star. He's our compass. He's the only thing we can navigate life by. I don't know why we all seem to learn the hard way, right? We try a million things under the sun. the bougie wedding at the Hamptons. Maybe that'll be the trick. If we get married at a really fancy place, this marriage will be better than anybody else's. But God, the unchangeable one, has made himself faithful. And he says, fix your thoughts on me. Lay hold of me. I want to invite us to consider this question as we close. When you think about our unchanging God, what comes to mind? What is it that God has shown you about himself that you want to lay hold of even now? That you want to lay hold of and fix your thoughts? Let that occupy your hope and your passion. And as Joe says, how might you respond to God's invitation even here tonight? The message that... So funny. Ryan, I saw this, that the name of this conversation is a conversation of faith, hope, and love. And I just saw that on the way down here. I thought, well, those are great attributes of God, aren't they? And maybe there's something in faith, hope, and love that we can think about in light of this story. You know, hope. Daniel, we sang that song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Right? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is shaking. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank you. Hope in Christ will not disappoint. It's an eternal hope. It's a secure hope. Or how about love? Right? Faith, hope, love. A.W. Tozer, in The Knowledge of the Holy, he says that the love of God is the pillar upon which hope rests. Isn't that a great thought? The love of God, it's the pillar that our hope rests on. How do we know that God is faithful? Because he's loved us. The question is, have you experienced his love? Because if you've experienced his love, God has expressed to you the essence of who he is. The giving God, the eternal God, and his love will endure forever. It's another immutable quality of who God is that we can lay hold of when the storm is hitting us. It's something we can even lay hold of when nothing is changing, when everything seems great. We can lay hold of that and be assured that his love is something that is absolutely dependable. And let's face it, the older we get, the less confidence we have on all that stuff we used to believe would provide for us, right, Mike? It just goes away. It's very mutable. It's very changing. What about his faithfulness? What about his faithfulness? One of my favorite scriptures, I'm going to close with this scripture. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it starts off, this is a trustworthy saying. Now, in the pastoral epistles, there are 5 trustworthy sayings, and in the early church, Timothy and Titus, these trustworthy sayings would be like creeds. They would be statements that once someone began that, everybody in the congregation would know them. They recited them often, right? It would be like our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father the Almighty. We've heard it. We know it. We confess it. It's a solid rock for us to stand on. It says this. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And then he turns it on its head here. He says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The unchanging God is immutable. If he's ever been faithful, he will always be faithful, and he'll be faithful now. So Daniel, come on up. And I want to return to that question. I just want to give us a moment just of silent prayer and contemplation. And as he begins to play, would you just bow your heads? And I want you to think about, when you think about our immutable God, when you think about the faithfulness of God, you think about the love of God, the hope of God, what comes to mind? What is it that you need from God that only he can give? That the world can't give. what eternal aspect of his character, of his person, of his promise would you lay hold of now by faith? Forgetting all the temporal things for a moment and just enter into eternity. The immutable God, he is here, he's present even now. And he's ready and he's willing and he's available. He's the one who heals the brokenness. He's the one that gives hope to those who are hopeless and in despair. He's the one who says, if you trust me with your life, even lose it, you will find it. He's the God of ages. He is the rock of ages. Father, we're just so grateful that you are who you are. We're so grateful, Lord, that you have chosen to be this way and reveal yourself to us in these just amazing, amazing ways. Every single person here has a story, and it's a story of when your unchanging love, when your faithfulness, Lord, when the hope that is Christ entered into our life and began to change things forever and for eternity, and we're still in that process, and we're here to say, Lord, be Lord of our life. Be Lord over these situations. Be Lord of the marriages in this place. Be Lord over the employment and the jobs. Lord, health issues that we're going through. Lord, heal broken relationships. Bring our children into your flock, we pray. Make us a church hungry for you and ready to be your feet to a world that is so lost and so confused. We thank you, Lord, for Liz and for Joe and for their story. And we're just so grateful, Lord, so grateful for this place of worship. We pray over Pastor Ryan and his family. Pray that you would bring them and restore their health. In all these things, Lord, we commit this into your hands.
Thank you for listening to today's message. To learn more about Village Church, visit our website at villagechurchburbank.org.